It was not the kind of voyage that many of them really were excited to be a part of. A good number of them had agreed to be a part of the crew on the condition that their prison sentences be suspended. No one in recent memory had dared to venture westward from Europe to get to Asia. There had been one attempt by the Portuguese back in 1485. No one on that expedition had ever been seen again. But this was 1492, and the captain was sure that he would reach Asia without too much difficulty. Yet the crew was not so confident. The wind continually seemed to be blowing westward. How would they ever be able to turn the ship around to return home? Furthermore, the weather had been so sunny that they were afraid that they might run out of drinking water. Every possible sign that might be considered as indicating that land was near was eagerly grasped onto. There were numerous false sightings. Conditions were so bad that the captain, Christopher Columbus, had to remind his crew that if they returned to Spain without their captain, they would all face grievous consequences. Thus was America founded by the Europeans, found by the Europeans, on the confidence of one man. This in spite of the very realistic concerns of most of his crew. For most people, life is like being on the wide open ocean, without any real map, without any confidence that they know where they will end up, and with great fear concerning the impact of forces beyond their control on their lives. They are like babies in our text, wavering and being blown around by every ideological gust, by the human crap game, by moral indifferentism caused by deceptive schemes. We see people grasping at whatever cause or idea comes their way that they think will make life meaningful to them. Some women grasp at feminism to explain who they are, not realizing that when they are dead, neither the worms that eat their bodies nor the God who judges their souls will care one whit whether they were male or female. Men may join groups like the Michigan Militia, the Ku Klux Klan, or some neo-Nazi group in order to make the country pure or Protestant or more American. Yet the God who will return to establish his own rule upon the earth, where everyone seems to want to rule, will destroy even the government of the United States and every other institution that we humans have thought up. Forrest Gump said, "Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get." A less dainty way of saying that is, life is a big crap game. In our text, the term for dice or game of dice is used, jubea. To the average human, life is dicey, meaning it's beyond your control. You never know when the next recession will begin, where the next tornado will hit, or who the next target of the Unabomber will be. No wonder people are so anxious. No wonder so many of them are neurotic. Their whole existence, meaning everything that makes life meaningful, can be destroyed by a bomb, by a job loss, by a spouse saying, "I'm leaving and taking the kids with me." Furthermore, the average American or human can become very jaded about life and other people. All the boss cares about you is whether he gets his money worth out of you. Businesses will use every and any means possible to separate us from our money. Even the government tries to get us to blow our money at the lottery rather than use it for purposes that will help our family to live a better life. All of this promotes a what's in it for me attitude regarding moral issues. If it doesn't help moi, why be involved? Why become involved in fighting racial and sexual discrimination if you're a white man? Why care where they may be disposing of your trash so long as it is not in your backyard? There is so much deception being practiced by every conceivable group, including religious and humanitarian organizations. Why not just look out for number one? Yes, the average person has no reason to try to live a moral life, and every reason to live a very self-centered one. The average Joe is very suspicious of others and of life in general. You never know when it will throw you a curve. The normal person follows one fad after another, putting into practice ideas from Everything I Ever Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten 1 year, and Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus the next. But Christians need not be like the average person. We are more like Christopher Columbus than the average sailor on life's journey. Why? Because Christ is active in his body, the church. Our text says that he is making his body grow into a place where he can dwell in love. Christ began to build up his body from the time he was conceived. When the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she would bear the Son of God, she affirmed that she was willing to give birth to the body of Christ with the words, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And she became a part of Christ's body. Christ, through his earthly life, built up his church. He chose, taught, and trained his disciples. He performed miracles to convince many that he was the promised Messiah. By his suffering, death, and burial, in which we participate through baptism, he put our sins to rest in the grave, from which they will never rise again. But by his resurrection, he renewed us, regenerating us through the Holy Spirit, so we could become a part of his eternal body. Christ prepares his saints for a work of service, the development of his body. He wants his body to grow. He wants it to both become strong and tall. He wants his church to grow both in numbers and in spirit. As Descartes put it, not only the teachers of the church by their official activity effect the growth of the church, but all the members have a share in this blessed work, each according to the measure of his or her gift, knowledge, experience, and confidence. In this way, the church grows and advances spiritually and numerically toward its consummation. Remember, not only spiritually, but also numerically. For when all the gifts and power which the Lord has supplied are put to use and set to work, strangers are also attracted and are added as new members. Christ uses every organ and appendage to help his body grow. There isn't one part of his body that he neglects and that doesn't contribute toward the body's growth. That's something to remember when some groups in the church want to punish those who don't belong to their in-group or even exclude them from the church altogether. But in our text, St. Paul especially mentions the work of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For it is these groups that Christ uses to prepare his saints for their work. The work of such apostles as Saints Paul, Peter, and John. The work of such prophets as Isaiah, David, and Moses. And the work of such evangelists as Mark and Luke are especially of importance in building up Christ's body. For without the Word of God, there is no body of Christ. It's our food. This word of God is given so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. But Christ also gives his church pastors and teachers. These workers take the scriptures written by the apostles, prophets, and evangelists to his saints. As pastors apply the word of God to the individual lives of their lambs, they provide them with the kind of spiritual nurture and exercise that each individual needs at that juncture in their life. As the teachers proclaim the word to the congregation, they guide the church of God in that place to witness to those who need to become a part of Christ's body. As in the case of Christopher Columbus, the church has a goal. It is to reach the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God's Son, to become a complete man, a perfect model of Christ's totality. We know that we will never reach that goal in this life. While we may strive to reach the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of God's Son through our theological discussions, we realize that the one holy Christian and apostolic church is a part of our faith and not a realizable, visible goal this side of heaven. But one thing we can be sure of as Christians is that we will reach that state where the church will be a place that Christ can dwell in love. Christ will bring it about. He works in every one of us and is working through every one of us to make his body, the church, what it should be. Christopher Columbus died with the delusion that he had in fact reached Asia. In his confidence, he had found land west of Europe. However, what he thought he had found was not what he actually had found. That is not the case with Christ's church. We can be confident, not like most people, about where life is taking us. While life may throw us some curveballs, we know we will win the game. We know that what our Lord says happens. Life is not a box of chocolates or a crap game for us. It is something Christ gives us to help us to grow in him and to use to help others to grow into him. Knowing this, we can sail through life with the confidence that our ship, the church, will reach the distant shore in better shape than it left port in. Amen.